It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Are we on the verge of the implosion of the Dallas Cowboys season, at least their quarterback situation, with what happened yesterday at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco? And are you saying, what the hell are you doing, Jerry? You finally tick Dak off? Or are you saying, good, like many Tolos who are ready to move on to a different QB? Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bout. Our final Rangers ticket giveaway of the week is coming up during the 720 Expressway. Dak Prescott, we think the more meaningful comment was Dak saying, yeah, if I don't get a deal done, it'll speak volumes. It'll basically say how they feel about me. But the one you're going to see all over the headlines is this.
Yeah, I understand that. That's the business and the nature of this game that we play. I stopped honestly listening to things that he says to the media a long time ago. So doesn't really hold weight with me.
Bobby, you think this is calculated?
Yeah.
I stopped listening to what Jerry Jones said a long time ago. He did have a little bit of a smile, and then it doesn't hold any weight with me. When Jerry Jones is asked about this, he'll laugh, right? He'll laugh and chuckle.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's his version. It's Dak's version of Zeke who. That's kind of the way that he did it. Now, I can't help but notice that when John Machota shared the quote, he didn't say it was said with a smile or a chuckle. I know Chop probably has some problems with John Machota because of that he didn't accurately.
I hope you defend.
He didn't quote all of the body language along with that. But
I hope you defend us as much as you defend John Machota.
I absolutely do. Right. I defend anybody who does their job well. But that's he's absolutely just going to the media, and this is a tactical move. He said, but now, to be fair, I'm going to need to go find it, but I know with certainty this is not the first time Dak has said these words. Dak has said, I stopped listening to what Jerry said in the media a long time ago. He said this a couple other times in his career. It's just the timing of it right now, given everything that's going on, it holds more weight.
Let's put the percentage on the record. We're going to keep updating this. Percentage that Dak Prescott is the Cowboys quarterback after this season. Choppy, I'll start with you.
Oh, man, I think you were out. I think I had it at somewhere between 70 and 80%, somewhere around there. It was high. Right now, I'd say 68.5%.
68.5%?
Yeah, if we get to week one, if we get to actual game one and he's not signed, that's going to drop closer to 50-50.
I'm going 55% that he's back.
That he is back.
55%.
I'll go 50.1 that he's back, and if it gets to the regular season, I'll say 30.
Oh!
Yeah, I think the moment week one happens, at kickoff, when Aubs puts the ball down on the on the tee.
Aubs?
Brandon Aubrey.
Yeah, I know who it is.
When he puts the ball down on that tee to kick it off, the moment that kick happens, I think it drastically drops.
Because of his ability to get to free agency?
Yeah, like now once the season starts, like, all right, now, I'm here. Like, we're here, let's just go.
Do you guys believe in my theory that they are in wait-and-see mode, that they're using their financial situation as an excuse to watch what he does this year, that they're still in judgment mode?
No, I think they don't want to pay a certain amount for any quarterback, period. Yeah. And I think that they want to. I could see them
saying, But hang on. So you think they're fine paying it for a receiver, top of market, whatever they're going to give Micah, but they're going to draw the line at paying the quarterback price?
Because I think they look at it as the idea of just, they'll pay top of market for the top of the market of one of them is half of the price of the top of the market for the quarterback.
What was when Dak signed in 20?
Mm-hmm.
Was he top of market?
He was second.
And top was like $4 million more. It was Rodgers, right?
I don't think it was. I think Mahomes done by then. I think Mahomes was done. And he was 45.
RJ, grab this. Give us your percentage on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line that he is back. Andre Whitworth, been on the show. Amazon Andrew. Coverage. Andrew, what did I say? Andre.
Yeah.
Andrew Whitworth, Rams, great offensive lineman, Super Bowl champ. RJ pulled this audio. I thought it was phenomenal. He was asked by Rich Eisen, like, what effect does this actually have on your locker room, and especially if your football team struggles early in the season?
That's the question. The concept of the all-in, Mike McCarthy doesn't have a contract. It's possible Dak won't have a contract. Micah Parsons will be due something. Does that matter? Does it come home to roost in any way, shape, or form during the playing season? If they're
100%, the first big loss they have, it's going to be, navigation through that entire week. You will be in a very fragile phase of, hey, this guy doesn't have his contract. He doesn't have his. The team's a little agitated that they've got to deal with that, because here's the thing. We're only talking about the guys who are getting paid. The rest of the guys on the team feel that too. Every guy on that team's watching that and going, wait, why would they do that to that guy? Like, all he does is do it the right way. So if they do it to him, then for sure I have no chance. So you create this attitude where, one, guys pick a side. You can't say that you're not eroding the culture a little bit when you continue to go down these roads and make it nasty and make it a fight when you're doing something like this. It's just a fact. You create that animosity within your team.
Totally agree.
To his point, the idea of every single loss magnified when people's jobs are on the line and people have that. Yeah. If I were to just point back to the 2018 season and I listed off their losses for you that year, I think you would just go, okay, maybe I remember that game. Maybe I remember that one. If I read off the losses to you from 2019 when everybody was under a contract year and there was all that tension there, I think you would remember every single one of the eight losses. New Orleans on the road. Yep. That was the first loss of the season. Yep.
12-10 game or whatever.
Green Bay at home. Dak throws his three picks. Amari Cooper goes off. That was the Jets road loss that year, the one where they go in there and Dak gets lit up the entire game. Minnesota at home on primetime football. That was the Tavon Austin fair catch game. The New England road game in the weather that was like 13-9. Buffalo on Thanksgiving. Chicago on the road. That was the following week where are you embarrassed from Corey Majors to Jerry Jones. And then Philadelphia with Dak's shoulder. On the road, they go into Philly with the chance of the division. Every single loss that year is, oh yeah, I remember that game. That was 5 years ago, but I remember it because it had so much weight. Every single week it was when they would lose, it was what's going to happen to everybody on this team. Is this guy going to be gone? Is this coach gone? Is this player gone?
Dak then kind of gave an opposite quote yesterday when he was asked about the uncertainty surrounding everyone heading into the year. He said, you got to love it, which it didn't sound like he loved it in his back and forth with Clarence Hill. He said, you got to embrace it. That's the challenge. We as the players and the coaches don't have the full say in whether we are here or not. It's about us controlling what we can. It's about sticking together. And Andre Whitworth was also asked if it made sense that the CD deal took forever.
When it all comes down Andrew. To it, your opinion of the Dallas Cowboys is what?
I think it's been an interesting, you know, I think everyone's kind of given their opinions on the CeeDee Lamb thing. I don't understand really honestly how this one got this far down the road.
But that's what they do.
It's what they do. And it always feels like sometimes it becomes just this power thing. Like we could do this, so we're going to do this way. Because it just feels like from a team camaraderie, you know, the culture, like that's really what you're thinking about. This should have been done far and away ago.
But does
you
it
know
really,
he's your best offensive player.
Does it really matter, though?
Does
they don't
it
sign they
until
don't...
another issue comes up. What they don't understand is players start to treat it the same way we treat it. That's how your own team treats it. And they go, you know what? Here we go again. Y'all are going to do this with another one of our guys. Or I'm in this situation. Y'all are going to do this to me. You start to create this underlying animosity to any time these situations come up. You're not going to just do the right thing and take care of the guy. You're going to make them go all the way down through the whole carousel of, like, you know, you're being selfish and we aren't ready to do this and blah, blah, blah. And so now 3 weeks from now, though, when they're playing the Giants in New York, it's going to have nothing to do with their football season.
I love that so much because we're just focusing on negotiations, isolated negotiations. He's talking about the trickle-down effect. What do you think Micah Parsons is thinking right now? I'm about to go through a pain in the ass back and forth. Yeah. I'm about to be put through the gauntlet. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it with the quarterback. They're doing it with the wide receiver. Why would they not do it with me?
Yeah, like CD at this point is probably whatever, right? Ayuk today is probably like, hey, I got my money. I heard Jeff Schwartz on TV yesterday be like, this is what you just do, right? There's no time for grudges in the NFL. Once you sign your deal, your grudge is over. You know, like you got to deal with it. You got to go. You got to go play. But that doesn't mean that the other guys don't see it. And that's the issue. Like, is CD happy today? Yeah, he's probably annoyed that it went through that long a process. But he knew deep down he's going to get his money, I'm sure. And he got it. So he's probably fine.
Yep.
But it's everybody else. It's the rank and file that are worried about their next deal.
And you want to go through it again if you have to do it multiple times, like Dak is going through right now. Like, I had to go through this again. I don't want to do it. And that perspective from a former player, yesterday, NFL agents were anonymous in talking about GMs.
Yeah, agents were talking to The Athletic, and they were asked the best and worst of everything like that. Best run franchise, and this one hurts because there are four teams that are directly competing with the Dallas Cowboys that are on the list of the best run franchises in the NFL. The Eagles and Niners tied for number one.
Howie!
The Packers.
The Howie myth is one of the worst myths in sports, and I'm tired of it.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, because there is a myth in here because they say he's one of the best drafters. I don't know that he's one of the best drafters. It's good. It's fine. Nothing wrong with it, but I don't know. Best? The Packers are up there, and the Lions are up there. The Lions, who were a team that were the worst-run franchise forever, they are now on among the best-run franchises. And, like, one of the comments they say on the Niners, the way they treat people and don't skimp on expenses, highly professional.
Debo and Ayuk feeling?
Yeah, they don't feel
Ayuk may be feeling that way today, getting $30 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, Debo eventually gets done, but
McCaffrey got his, like, nice and early.
Yeah.
Like, here you go, Christian. Go ahead, take this.
Another example. Eagles. Every year, free agents want to go there. They reward players. Howie nails the draft. This is easy, Eagles. What an organized group with football and front office business. Every year, they're on top of their game. What are the most unstable franchises? The most unstable. Panthers are first. Raiders are second. And then in a four-way tie, Cardinals, Jets, Jaguars, and the Dallas Cowboys. You do not want to be lumped up with the Jets or the Panthers or the Raiders.
As
Cardinals is the last team you want to be lumped in with.
The other day, too, like, people were talking about the culture and the Jets building with Aaron Rodgers.
This is the comment here. The Jets, there's complete disarray over there. Look how they've handled Aaron Rodgers. Has one player had more power than him? He skipped minicamp. They have been unable to convert him to a team player. The vibe in the building is terrible. I think Tom Brady, when he went to Tampa, had just as much power. Now, the difference is that Tom didn't exert it like Aaron did.
How do you use the power? Right. Yeah, that's...
Peyton had as much power in Denver when he went there, but he went to minicamp.
But you know what? I don't know, because I think if Brady had those same sort of things that Rodgers has come up, I don't know how often teams put up with that. Like, I think teams probably do draw a line and say, no, you can't just, like, go on your ayahuasca journey.
Did you read the quote from the agent? I'm sorry. About Jerry?
I'll read it right now. I don't think they want to win above all. Jerry wants to turn profits and make headlines. I think the game has passed him by.
And more. Every year, free agents want to go there. Complete disarray. The vibe inside the building is terrible. The Cowboys want to play it out and are willing to pay the price if wrong. These are other agents commenting on Frisco.
There was a, you know, when we talk about this and, you know, Andrew Whitworth talking about negotiating with them and how, you know, it feels like they want to have power. Like the power in the negotiation is more important to them than anything else. Somebody who negotiated with the Cowboys previously that I talked to, I was just having to look it up because I know it was in my messages somewhere, where they had said that the Cowboys and oftentimes the representatives end up getting pulled down into it as well, but that it becomes more about folks, quote, trying to invoke their power over the next person. In that process, they lose sight of what's best.
And that's where this quote comes in, where they say the Cowboys don't have any hierarchy. You have to go through 30 layers of bureaucratic process to get anything done, and you know why. Like,
I think that's...
Jerry wants the title, but he also wants everybody to feel like they have a say, it seems like.
I think that's a flaw. Most everything else, the criticism is legit. I think that one is flaw. I think there's clear structure.
All right, there's Inside the Star on the home of the Dallas Cowboys. It's us here on Sean, RJ, and Roberto. Our final giveaway of the week for you turning it on, leaving it on, a Texas Rangers ticket giveaway, and... Around the NFL, overreactions or not before the real thing begins. That's next in the commercial-free expressway, along with the junk drawer here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Commercial free, expressway, final giveaway of the week, Texas Rangers tickets, Mike Florio on what Jerry Jones and the Cowboys are doing at 8 o'clock this morning on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, with some notes around the NFL before we get to the junk drawer. Jamar Chase money, Deshaun Watson redo. Which one do you want to start with, Bob?
Let's start with the absolute trouble the Cleveland Browns have gotten themselves in with Deshaun Watson. So Deshaun Watson signed that $46 million annual value deal a couple years ago when they traded for him. And it was something where it was fully guaranteed and people were like, boy, this is bold. Because even when somebody like Cousins got his fully guaranteed deal, it was a little below where the market was expected to go. It was a shorter term deal. So it was like, okay, this is kind of what you might expect them to guarantee overall over the course of a 5-year contract. Anyway, they just went ahead and put onto paper, this is fully guaranteed. This is what it looks like when you get a contract and you just shorten the terms to 3 years. So the Browns gave him this deal over the course of 5 years at a large rate, and they went ahead and restructured it yesterday to free up money. They took his $46 million base salary, restructured it, spread it over the cap years, and now there is no way to get out of this contract without totally screwing yourself. Next year and 2026, both years, his cap number is going to be $73 million now.
Woo! Is that high?
That is massive. And if he's bad this season and you want to release him, he would leave $173 million in dead money on the cap.
What a total Brown backfire so far for reasons none of us saw coming. When they made this deal, the outrage was, oh my God, massages. Oh my God, he's insensitive. Oh my God, he's a terrible person. No one brought up at the top of this of why it would go wrong and backfire that he's not good anymore.
Yeah.
The entire risk had to do with PR and conduct and character, not him being a bum and a bad quarterback. And that is what has happened.
That's what's happened. That's exactly what it is. It's that he's been, I mean, he's, first of all, he can't stay healthy. And when he has been healthy, he hasn't been great. Now, look, did 700 and some days off hurt? Yeah. Sure. Yeah,
but you should have found your footing by now.
You should have found your footing by now. You should have found your footing.
This is, so dead money is basically, dead money in terms of what your cap savings is, it's basically dead money or your cap charge minus dead money. So if there's $40 million in dead money, but your cap number is $60 million, then basically what it ends up being is you save $20 million by cutting that person. It's just 40 is still eaten up on
you're
the cap.
You're still eating up 40, yeah.
So if they cut him at the end of this year, if things go poorly and they cut him, releasing him next spring would leave them a net negative $100 million on their salary cap. It would cost them $100 million more on the cap to let him go than just let his $73 million sit on the cap.
Yeah, my Deshaun is equal to Dak is going up there in Carson Wentz territory right now. Not great.
Is he Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, things like that? Is that more of an argument at all for you in your mind? Not for the Cowboys, obviously, but is that more of an argument to just say, you know what, Dak has been pretty stable. Do you want to get back into the volatility of even when you have a good quarterback,
yes,
that can turn really quickly?
Yes, absolutely. It's an argument to keep him around. Jamar Chase wants 1 cent more than Justin Jefferson.
There you go.
LSU rivalry taking place, according to some.
So, yeah, apparently, according to Ian Rappaport, Jamar Chase is at the point where he wants more money than Justin Jefferson, to the point that the petty number can be 1 cent more on the contract, but he needs more money than Justin Jefferson. And when you're talking about an insistence on that petty of a value, like better be one penny more, I better be the highest paid in the NFL, even if it's by a penny over him, I start to wonder if this is about pettiness with your LSU teammate, because Chase was always the alpha at LSU. When Chase missed the year and was coming out in 21, I think it was the draft where he was coming out, the line everybody kept using was they said, at LSU, you saw what Justin Jefferson did his rookie year in 2020. Chase was considerably better. There was never a question at LSU who was better, Jefferson or Chase. And so people would always go, man, Chase, imagine what he'll do at the next level. So the fact that he hasn't clearly surpassed Jefferson yet, I wonder, is this a little like LSU competitiveness? Like, nope, that guy that I've always been better than my whole career, no, I'm getting a penny more than him.
It's weird how just going to another league changes everything like that, like just going to the next level. Because there was nobody made the case that Jefferson was better than Chase.
Mm-mm.
Nobody. And it's weird how you go to the next level and it's not even, nobody really debates it.
Is there more Jalen Hurts worry in Philly? This is part of the league survey from The Athletic of what coaches had to say about different players. The word is out on Jalen Hurts, and Nick Bosa gave everyone the blueprint. Quote, if you run zero blitz against Hurts or show zero and back everyone out, he will panic. That has to change. They lose Kelce. They handle the protections. He handled the protections, basically did everything. You bring in a coordinator, Kellen, who likes to drop back. It will be interesting. So this is a little scouting report being thrown out there. I didn't say interesting. That was from someone else. I quoted it. Jalen Hurts exposed. Word is out. He will panic from the zero blitz. And Hurts was kind of talking about
that. He was talking about that. He was on WIP. In Philadelphia, and he was talking about...
Now, what's it like to get a quarterback on the flagship?
he was talking about how everything has changed this year because there is no safety net known as Jason Kelce.
You know, I think in the end, I think when you look at this upcoming season and what you may have seen from years past, it's just different autonomy in different places. You know, we had a great player in Jason Kelce who took on a lot of responsibility, and as a result of that, I was told not to worry about a lot of things. And so my eagerness to learn and all of that over the years, you know, kind of was halted because of who we had. But now times are different, and I'm excited for that journey for this football team.
I can't stand hearing that guy talk.
He's dead.
Sounds like he's asleep.
Weekend at Hertzies.
Just
prop him out there and let him fall forward for the QB sneak touchdown.
Bernie would have been a better football player than Hurts was last
year.
Like to say that he lost his eagerness to learn because Kelce was making all the checks to the line of scrimmage, all the calls, protections, and everything. I don't know.
You know who this guy is? He's Master Shredder. Do you know who that is, Choppy?
I know.
Name
he's
the Ninja Turtles. Give me the colors of the Ninja Turtles.
The colors.
Yep.
Well, the green.
Yes. The headbands.
The purple. I know the purple one is DeAndre.
It's not DeAndre.
It's Donatello. I know the other one. I know it's Michelangelo. I don't know what color he is.
Orange.
Shut up. Shut up for a second with your Michelangelo colored shirt over there.
All right, I know Raphael.
Good. What color?
Is he red?
Good job. Good job.
And then who was the other one?
Who else you name?
Lionel.
Not Lionel. Leonardo. Leonardo.
Any chance you know what their weapons were?
Not a chance. I know that. Well, one of them used the two-sided sword.
The two-sided sword.
Right? Didn't one of them have like a
one's a bow?
Are you talking about Casey's hockey stick?
No. Peyton, do you know the weapons?
I don't think so. No.
You don't, Bob?
No.
Oh gosh. You're answering all eager over there, and you don't even know the weapons.
I don't care about their weapons. Don't they die eventually? Like,
do they die?
Probably.
They're superheroes. They got die.
Turtles, kids, man.
Kids, don't listen to that. This is not a spoiler for Peyton.
They like pizza. I know they like pizza.
A global warming got them in the sewer.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, they did like pizza. All right, the reason that Jalen Hurts is Master Shredder, Shredder had like these spikes, right, like all over his armor. And so Jalen Hurts, he's just walking with spikes that cut people. Like, it's not an outright stab, but there's all these little side swipes from his spikes that he's just giving to people in his organization the entire offseason. I don't know if that was a great analogy.
He's kind of a bad teammate, it feels like. it feels like he's, I mean, him standing up there at the end of last year just be like, yeah, I don't know. Nick's that coach, right? Is he back this year? I don't know. Are people talking about that? I don't.
You get scarred if you're close to this dude.
He sounds like he's got that no emotion to his voice, like psychopath sound to him, just where he's like, yeah, my yearning to learn was really halted. But I mean, this is a backhanded, feels like a backhanded diss where it's like Jason Kelsey's so good at what he does, but boy, it kind of stopped me from learning. I wanted to learn and they didn't want to let me learn.
Now, like, I get it. Like, I suppose it's common in a situation where you've got like a really good center, like I assume that when Dak was first getting in the league and Travis Frederick was still here.
Yeah.
That Travis did a lot of that stuff.
Like, we're going to take it off.
Still do a lot.
We're going to take it off your plate. Like, yeah. Don't worry about this. Ahead. He's got you.
He's got you. Now, like, does this do a disservice, though, to the development of the quarterback by doing it that way?
No.
Or is it like, let's just get everything off your plate, make it easier for you? Like, because like Tom Brady, you get to the elites, right? They were doing all that stuff by themselves as they got older. And I'm sure even as they were, you know, really, really youthful in the league. But I assume it does take something off their plate and something away from their development.
All right, Choppy, let's get to some before the regular season overreactions or not. Man, on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053.
Mike Tomlin, I just spit all over my computer. Holy cow. That was a gleek. Remember gleeks? You ever do that?
No.
I could never do that. Sounds Mike dirty. Tomlin.
Is that with DeAndre?
Has never had a losing season that will end this year.
Ooh, that's a good one. Russell Wilson named the starter.
Not an overreaction.
Okay, will it happen? Not an overreaction is a nice, safe answer.
Yeah, which I like. Yes, that you're being technical. It'll happen.
It will happen.
They will have a losing season.
Definitely not an overreaction. All right, break it up into 17 games. How many does Fields play and how many does Wilson play?
Ooh. Oh,
like 8 and 9?
No, I bet Wilson plays 13-14, yeah. Something like that.
It's Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Who was the quarterback for them the past like 2 or 3 years?
Pickett, right? Yeah,
Pickett. So Russell Wilson Fields not better than Pickett when Tomlin didn't go under 500?
I think it's just they're in a really tough division. The Bengals are going to be back. You got the Bengals, you got the Ravens, you got the Browns. You're in the AFC in general. Like, I mean, they've got one of the tougher schedules.
Not an overreaction.
Okay, I agree. A non-quarterback will win league MVP.
Way overreaction. It'll be a quarterback like it has been for eternity.
When's the last time someone won it? Was it Adrian?
Adrian. Should have been Manning, but whatever.
Overreaction.
I agree. A playoff game will be massively impacted by the new kickoff rules.
Ooh, that's a good one. Bill Belichick, by the way, says he doesn't think the kickoff rule is going to make a difference with McAfee.
My thing would be just move the ball back. I mean, this is like golf. You know, the 400-yard par fours are no longer 400-yard par fours. They're 500-yard par fours. So if they can hit it further, just move the ball back and kick off in the 20 or 25 or put it wherever you want to put it. But if you want kickoff returns, then just move the ball back. I think what we saw in preseason was most teams kicking the ball so it would be returned so they could evaluate their coverage. And sometimes they might have had a, you know, some kind of a situation with their opponent where, well, you do the same thing for us, so, you know, we get a chance to return the ball, right? And that's, you know, that's what it is. I think once you get into the regular season, if a team's got
touchbacks,
a good returner,
Bill, it's just going to be touchbacks. That's all it's going to be. That's all it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, you put the ball on a 30 instead of the 25. I mean, big deal. But I'd rather do that than, you know, to kick it to one of these guys that, you know, has got a chance to, you know, change field position on you in a hurry.
This is the exact same concept to me, only in reverse. I would never, unless it's very, very late and it's like a fourth and inches, I would never call a timeout to get away from a delay of game. The value of the timeout, to me, is more important than the 5 yards in most situations.
I will say the answer to your question is not an overreaction that will have a playoff moment impacted because this also erases onside kicks. So you're not going to get the onside recovery.
Yeah.
They were kind of obsolete anyway, but you're not going to get the onside recovery now because of this rule. So we won't have a playoff moment impacted by it.
Yeah, not an overreaction because there's the question is not an overreaction if we will have it.
Yeah, a playoff game will be impacted.
Yeah, a playoff game will be impacted by the new kickoff rules in some capacity, and so it may be subtle, but it may be, you know, a return or a ball bouncing out of bounds and it changing field position. Something'll occur.
All right, next one. Robert Saleh will not be the first AFC East coach fired this year.
It's not going to be McDaniel. It's not going to be Mayo.
So it's McDermott.
If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
He will not be.
Yeah, that McDermott will be the. Basically, I'm saying McDermott will be the first one fired this year.
No.
Is that an overreaction?
No.
Or
no? It's an overreaction. It will be Saleh or not. Yeah, Saleh will go first.
Either no one gets fired or they'll fire Saleh first. Because, I mean, they're.
Saleh.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, next one. Deshaun Watson will not finish the year as the Browns starter.
Well, Flacco is not there anymore.
Right.
Not finish the year because of it could be injury or play.
I suppose it could be. I was thinking he'd get benched, but it could be injury. Too.
Who's their backup?
Jameis. It's Jameis.
If Watson's healthy, he will finish the year as the starter.
They got three Pro Bowl quarterbacks there: Deshaun Watson, Jameis, and Tyler Huntley.
Someone said they're putting Winston on the block too.
They are.
No. They're not.
They thought about it.
They're expected to move one of their quarterbacks because they've got Tyler Huntley and then the old the UCLA quarterback, three name guy Robinson,
Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yeah. So they've got the four quarterbacks there, and so they're expected to move one of them, but it's not supposed to be Jameis. But no, I think it'll be Deshaun Watson because it's $173 million, like we just talked about. It's sunk cost fallacy. They are in this, and they've got to figure it out.
All right, next one. Caleb Williams will finish the year as the best quarterback in the NFC North.
Goff? That's an overreaction. With Goff and Love.
It's an overreaction because Caleb Williams is as fun as the highlights are, it still wasn't super efficient during the preseason.
Took them a while. Like, everyone left out, like, the first possessions until Caleb, like, made some of the highlight reel throws, but they weren't doing anything for a while. Right. But, man, do they have weapons.
Yeah, they do.
How many Utah defenders are in the NFC North? That may answer it for me.
Oh.
since that's, like, his Florida with Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Is this kryptonite?
Yeah,
kryptonite.
He can't beat Utah.
Nope. Last one. One of last year's Final Four, San Fran, Detroit, Kansas City, or Baltimore, will miss the playoffs this year.
San Fran, Kansas City, Baltimore, Detroit.
One of them will miss the playoffs this year.
It's an
overreaction. Which one's most likely? Detroit or Baltimore?
Baltimore, probably. Just because, I mean,
I think Detroit's roster's better than Baltimore, but, I mean, you get injuries.
Does Lamar get banged up? AFC North is going to have a few different teams that are really good. So, I mean, I think probably Baltimore.
All right, more news. Is that it?
That's it. That's
well done. Around the NFL, overreactions or not, more news is coming in on the tragedy that struck the sports world and the NHL this morning. The Blue Jackets' Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew die after being struck by a car. Police are saying the driver is suspected of being under the influence, being charged with 2 counts of death by auto.
Oh, no.
So that is awful, awful, sickening news coming out from the National Hockey League. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com will join us at 8. Right now, it is the Junk Drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
The things we could not get to throughout the rest of the week here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. And tears were being shed yesterday over a decision to change and forget our childhood. Capri Sun has been put in bottles for adults.
This is insane.
They're so good too.
They are very good. And this rebrand is, I'm offended.
I'm trying to, all right, what is another food item or drink that has to stay in their original unique packaging? Pringles?
You can't
put Pringles in a bag.
No, you can't put Pringles in a bag.
Pringles,
I totally agree.
I mean, the very nature of Go-Gurt being the little tube full of yogurt has to be that way. But I mean, this is up there. So this is, they started bottling it like 15, 20 years ago, Capri Sun, like in small amounts you could get it. But this is like a complete elimination of the pouches.
Yeah, so they're adopting straw, like they're talking about paper straws instead of the plastic ones.
California,
very bad place. But yeah, they are completely rebranding this and going to get rid of the pouch. And
they're
go.
Getting so there's not the pouch option.
Yeah, they're moving they're away from the rid pouch. Of it?
This is going to be back in 6 months.
This is New Coke. This is when in the 80s they introduced New Coke. It's not going
to
happen.
I will take a shot. I will take a shot at Capri Sun. Whenever I give one to Ollie, I am terrified of the juice coming out of that stupid little hole. Like when I'm putting the straw in, I'm worried.
He squeezes it.
I'm worried about. Yeah. I always tell him first. I go. Sipped and squeeze, because I've had a lot of damn Capri Sun on my floor. Yeah. Because I give it to him, he grabs it, squeezes it, and it comes
Look,
out.
Look, there's a simple solution here that Capri Sun could have.
I didn't do anything. I did not.
I'm tired of looking at your stupid face.
Or say anything.
I'm tired of looking at your stupid face.
And now you have lotion all over your face.
Yeah,
all that's over great. Your face.
You gave me some video that I'll be able to pass on to Julia Tran now. Assault in the workplace.
Yeah, and the juice came out of that for you.
Yeah, it did.
Which you were smiling about with your stupid jokes and smiles towards
pain. Not the first time I've had it all over my shirt.
There's an easy solution here. They could keep the pouches and get rid of the straws and use those. You see some of those other, they had the plastic little tiny spout that you could just turn.
Yeah.
A lot of these, like, they'll do yogurt in these things. You can easily do that and keep the pouch. You don't need to go to a bottle. Don't.
Awful. Gen Z with the keyboards and hide your jewelry.
Hide your jewelry, Grandma. Hide your jewelry, okay?
See, ashy hands. Is that a different wedding ring?
No, I've been wearing this one.
Okay.
At least you're wearing a wedding ring.
Yeah. I have been.
So Gen Z is going crazy for, remember brooches?
Nope.
Grandma used to wear these giant brooches on her lapel. And now Gen
Sunday
Z women,
attire.
Huh?
Sunday attire.
Sunday attire, yes. Hide your jewelry because these Gen Z women who are now in their 20s are using these things to style up, right? You're going to take a shirt and tie it together and use a brooch as the button, right? To cover their buttons. Well, grandmas around the country are finding it. Where's my brooch? Where's my brooch? So, I have an advice to you. If you, the Tolo, wants to go to your grandmother's house or your mom's house and just raid the jewelry box.
I can't.
And you can sell them on eBay. And they will pay top dollar for them. So, a little bit of advice. If you want to do that, I'm going to go to my mom's house. I'm going over this week. I'll be like, hey, Ma. Give me some of them brooches, and I'm going to sell them. Soon. I'm going to sell them on Etsy.
Man.
Or eBay, Etsy. Whatever it is.
You're a human vulture looking to pick. Pick.
That's all he's doing.
Pick and swoop in whenever he can.
Just plucking shiny things to bring back to your nest. And
the body won't even be cold before RJ's looking in there like, what bracelet's she wearing? Like, what is
that? We were talking about grave robbers the other day. In another lifetime, this guy was a grave robber.
I just got to figure out a way to to get my sister's out of the will and just get the house all to myself.
You're going
to
be like the guy on Friday who looks over like the knocked out body, like looking around, like stealing out of the wallet, ripping the chain off the neck.
Gen Z doesn't know how to use a keyboard. So that's the issue. So they don't do, apparently they don't do typing in class anymore in school. They
no more Mavis like, Beacon?
Yeah, they don't have like computer. Did you have computer classes, Peyton?
Yes, yeah, we did.
I did not.
Optional, but.
You didn't?
No.
You never had typing.
You mean like a computer in class or typing as a class?
Typing as a class.
Oh, yeah, I had typing as a class in like high school, I think.
Yeah, so like my kids don't have typing.
But I can't type like that. How many of you guys can look at the screen and still kind of like two or three fingers here and there?
I still poke at it, but I'm quick poking at it.
Mark yourself.
Yeah, no.
Peyton's a short stroker on the keyboard.
Hold on. I'm going to try and type that out. I'm quick poking at it. Yeah, I got it.
Nice.
Yeah, I can type.
How many words a minute?
That's a great question.
That's the test.
Yeah, that is the test. I would love to figure that out. They're not doing typing class anymore. So Gen Z, who does most of their stuff on their phone, they are struggling. You would never think they would struggle with this, but they are struggling in the workplace typing on a keyboard.
I never thought Gen Z would have struggled with something.
But it's all because now Gen Z is doing so much of their work on their phone. They're just on their phone. They're doing their work, which I don't know how to do. Like I don't know how to save a lot of things and do attachments the way I would on a computer. I don't find it as easy on my phone. They find it much easier on their phone. So employers are sitting there thinking that their employees are on their phone when they're really working because they don't know how to type on a keyboard and it's just faster for them to use their smartphone.
Yeah, I still think they're probably using their phone. Do your kids
have computers in class? No.
They do, yeah.
They have iPads, most of them.
And are they supplied by the school?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have an iPad, but it comes with a little like fold-out keyboard that's on it. So, I mean, they still should have some use. But I think a lot of them do just use what's on the screen.
Do any of you think you can beat your kids in a texting contest if you had to retype this audio sheet and it was speed between you and your kid? Could you beat them?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's tough because my kids don't use actual words.
Okay.
They just do two letters like RN right now. I know, right. IKR.
So the big thing is also like doing post games Cowboys, like when Jerry's talking or whatever, or we're doing stuff with NFL Network, like you've got to, when you get back to the media room, you're using the laptop, but otherwise you're using your phone and kind of like typing and listening. And so
Tolo Heather says 140 words per minute. Ooh. And if you know Heather, that is an achievement because she's from Arkansas.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Good job, Heather.
Very nice.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up with the junk drawer. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com at 8.
All right. So there is a study that was 100% authored by a guy who's trying to get out of trouble for cheating on his wife. This is over at SciPost.org. New research published in Personality and Individual Differences suggests that motivations for committed relationships and casual sex are distinct and coexist rather than existing on a single spectrum. So traditionally, sociosexuality was seen as something where you have casual sex on one side and then long-term commitment on the other. However, this study found that these desires often operate independently, influencing romantic behaviors and outcomes differently. So basically what this guy is trying to say is saying, instead of viewing those as like, hey, one of the spectrum here, what, like, honey, you got to understand, I want to be in a committed relationship with you and also have sex with all the ladies. And that's something that is not a reflection of my love for you or lack of love for you. I can completely love and be committed to you while also going and partying with all the hoes. Like that's the way that he views it.
Yeah.
Is this a symbiosexual relationship? That's the new term, symbiosexual.
No, is that what it is?
It's a Bobby recording bit for tonight.
They said, she's probably listening right now, so that'll get ruined. But it says, using a two-dimensional model to measure sociosexuality, researchers discovered that individuals could simultaneously desire both. both, challenging the notion that they are mutually exclusive. The study indicates that a strong desire for a committed relationship correlates with higher relationship satisfaction and commitment, while a stronger inclination towards casual sex is linked to lower commitment and a greater interest in alternative partners. Despite the study, it acknowledges limitations like self-report bias and a lack of casual insights due to its cross-sectional design.
I wonder if this would... Thanks for the two sentences none of us can understand. I wonder if this would...
Arkansas over here.
I wonder if this would reduce cheating rates, where you're like, okay, here's my scenario. You're my partner for the rest of my life, and we may get sick of each other physically. So instead of that causing me to venture out and cheat, you get 3 random hookups a year.
Kirilenko rules.
I get 3, and we still love each other. I'm not going to love this person. You hope that, you know, the feelings don't form.
Yeah.
I'm not going to love this person.
That's the issue.
Yeah, right? It's a stupid idea. Don't do it. I was just like, for those that try that, would it reduce the cheating rate?
There's so many.
I love when women especially go, yeah, it's casual for me.
I was looking. I mean, this is Andre.
Not the guys can't catch feelings, but the females, to me, going to catch feelings more.
Andre Kirilenko was given that was the big story 20 years ago. Kirilenko was given, hey, once a year you are allowed to go out and venture out and you get basically your hall pass. And Kirilenko said he never used it, but that they thought that by offering that up, that strengthened their relationship. And if he needed to vent and get it out, he could.
There was a soccer player who screwed this up. His girl gave him.
Yeah.
A megastar.
Wait, was it Neymar? PK?
Neymar.
Was it Neymar?
Neymar. And he screwed this up. And she's like, he had a pass.
Yeah.
But he.
PK was with Shakira. That's what happened.
There was an Ask Reddit about this recently, but like people who have tried open relationships, how did it work out for you? Yada, yada. And a lot of the answers, the replies were like, is not what you think. Like when you end up inside of it, you end up going, you know what I mean? Inside of a relationship. Someone like that,
throw the lotion back at me.
Someone always wants
more.
Yep. And that creates the problem.
I usually roll my eyes and don't even talk about RJ Choppy's health scares that he sends every single week. But this one got me. An 18-year-old is now paralyzed due to complications from West Nile, Missouri health officials said. There were 2 deaths in Wisconsin from West Nile, and a 2nd human case of the mosquito-borne disease has been confirmed in Massachusetts. And yesterday I said out loud, maybe Mike Bassick's prophecy that we're all about to get wiped out is coming true. People are burning up to death. They're killing elephants and hippos to eat. And now mosquitoes are paralyzing people.
This is one of those things. It's like,
and you know, as I told Amanda, we probably deserve it.
This is like
the way we all act towards each other. We may deserve to just get wiped out.
So I assume West Nile's from a butt. It's a gnat, right? You get bit by a mosquito. So it's the reverse lottery. Yeah, it's the reverse lottery. It's just a bad break. Like that mosquito, Kerry West Nile, happens to come and land on your arm and bite you. Like that's what we're dealing with here. I mean, that is the ultimate bad lottery break. It's bad. You get a bad deck.
All right, where do we want to finish up with the junk drawer?
I'll judge
by the Bobby's lip smack, it'll be him.
Let's go to the U.S. military using Tinder in really smart ways. So this is over at RJ Choppy's favorite website, Bro Bible. I feel like that's way at the top for him.
It's a good site.
You have to hand it to whoever is at U.S. Central Command coming up with the plan to run ads on Tinder in Lebanon in order to prevent a simmering situation from boiling over into a conflict that could further destabilize the entire region. So a freelancer for the Washington Post found this out the other day that if you're on Tinder in Lebanon, then an ad comes up that basically says, do not take arms against the U.S. and its partners, that F-16s and A-10s are already prepared, and that the U.S. will protect its partners in the face of threats from the Iranian regime and its agents. So they're running ads on Tinder trying to reach the exact type of person that they would be worried about. A young, sexually frustrated male in one of these countries who then is more likely to pick up arms and join it. So they're hitting them right where they're going to pick it up and look for that. It's like, hey, just a reminder, while you're looking for these things, make sure you stay looking for these, that you're looking for the ladies while you're swiping, because we don't want you to take up arms. It's going to end poorly for you if you do that. So the U.S. government investing ads in targeting the young, single, sexually frustrated men of Lebanon.
I mean, look, they were doing this in the Ukraine. Like they were like the Ukrainian women and or Russian women with the Ukraine soldiers. They were trying to like find them on Tinder or social or Bumble or whatever to try to gain intel.
What does Mike Florio think of Dak saying he doesn't care whether he gets an extension before the season starts and that he doesn't listen to Jerry Jones anymore? Mike Florio gets you ready for the football season from Football Night in America, NBC, and ProFootballTalk.com right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.